Well, anyway, what we're going to be talking about today is it's a very important part of our Christian experience. Did you ever have anyone offend you? I heard a yes. Now, I hope they're not sitting next to you this morning, but they may be. I don't know. Do you know there's an expression, you only hurt the ones you love? Do you know why that is? Because the ones you love are the only ones who are going to put up with you. I mean, come on. If you keep on hurting somebody else, they're going to discontinue the relationship. But anyway, if you have been offended, insulted, disrespected, or otherwise felt abused in life, I think that happened to all of us, right? At one time or another. Of course it does. Now, the Bible talks about the remedy for that, and the remedy for that is forgiveness. Now, the issue with forgiveness is it goes against our grain. It goes against what we think, what we believe, how we think, how we believe. So, we're going to start with Matthew chapter 6. And this is the Lord's Prayer. Our Lord prays that our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay, all right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Well, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Now, you see, the Bible is a book of promises, and the Bible is also a book of conditions. So what happens is we all love the promise, but what happens is sometimes we forget the conditions. So we're going to publish. Have you looked up the God's Promise Bible? That is nothing but the promises. You know, you get a sheet on or a devotional, all the promises of God. Well, we're going to put together the commands of God, and you have to read the commands before you get the promises, right? That's the way it should work. Because he goes on, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, we have unconditional love from God. We have unconditional. We do not have to do anything to go before God, ask for his forgiveness, and become part of the family of God. We don't have to do anything. It's unconditional love. However, what the conditions that do come in are, if we want to be a healthy, prosperous, spiritual, well-being type Christian, then we also have to follow some of the conditions. So there are conditions, but there's from an unconditional love. But because of that unconditional love, he is going to give us some conditions that we're going to have to follow to get some of the promises that come after it. Now, there's a bunch of reasons why people don't want to forgive. But we got to recognize something. In this, it's a triangle, okay? God is in the middle. Maybe it's not a triangle. Maybe it's linear. So God is in the middle. The person who is offended is here. And the person who brought the offense is over here, okay? So what happens with this is when God is in the mix, we need to conform to his rules and his understanding to get his blessings, his promises. They come at us regularly, many things to do, Holy Spirit prompting, you should do this, you shouldn't do this. So now, I got my side mixed up. This is the offender. This is the person who brought the offense, okay, over here. And this is the person who has been offended, and this is God. So now what happens is this person offends me. And I have a couple of reasons, three very good reasons, why I am not going to forgive this person. But in order to get those reasons to really flourish, I have to go through God, right? Because I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to be filled with the Spirit. And I'm supposed to have a direct link to God, and I'm supposed to have accepted the fact that Jesus said, we will come and make a home within you. So I am supposed to be a Spirit-filled man with a of the Word, but I'm walking in the Spirit, and I'm supposed to be thinking in the Spirit. So now I get this offense. Now, normally in church services, we don't want to stir up bad memories. But if you would allow my prompting of the Holy Spirit to stir up within you, not only the gifts, but to stir up within you some experience that you're having a hard time with forgiving the person. Well, I didn't come to church for this. Are you kidding me? I came to church for Happy Clappy. I like that song. I like Feel Good. No, we're going to have the feel good after we get rid of the poison that's in our system because of the unforgiveness. So what we want to do is to examine what goes on in our life and what we can do about it. So there's a couple of reasons. There's many reasons. Actually, they're excuses, but they're okay. And why we find it hard to forgive, we're afraid of sending the wrong message. Somebody has done something to offend me, and I don't want to send the wrong message. They're always rude. We're in a group, and they just speak. I wish somebody would put a muzzle on them, for goodness sake, that they just say things out of it, and they embarrass me, they make me feel bad. It's terrible what they're doing. I wish they weren't around me at all. And now at the last time we had this meeting, and they said something I will never forget, and I don't know if I can ever forgive them. So how am I supposed to work this? Because if I forgive them, it's saying that what they did is okay. No. Forgiveness is not about the person who brings the offense. Forgiveness is about what's going on inside of me, because I got the poison going on inside of me, not them. Did you ever notice when sometimes people will do something or say something, and you go back and you say, oh, you said something the other day, they don't even remember it. They don't even remember it. And you've been harboring it and running around, and that was just something they threw out, you know, like, geez, you enjoying the summer picnics? Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, they look pretty good. You look like you put on a little weight. What? What? Did you hear what she said about me? Did you hear? Why? I'm never going to forgive her. This is rude, rude. Forgiving is to make a conscious decision. I'm going to let go of that feeling, and I'm going to disassociate the event with feeling. And I'll tell you why. If that happened to you 10 years ago, you will remember something happening. And it could have been at a picnic. It could have been at somebody's house. It could have been at the church. I don't know. But I'm not sure. Those are going to get hazy. But what is going to stick like a thorn in you is the feeling. The feeling is going to stick. Well, I'm hazy. I know the person was hazy on the setting, but I know the feeling. I'm not going to forgive them. By the way, they moved away 2 years ago. They don't even live here anymore. So you don't have to worry about them. You got it going on inside of you. So I don't want to get involved in this stuff because it's going to sound like it was okay. Or how about they don't deserve to be forgiven? Some people don't deserve to be forgiven. It's not about what they deserve. It's about you getting the bad stuff out of the you, not out of them. They're going to be participants one day, maybe, if it comes about that you will say to them, by the way, I forgive you, but maybe not. Again, it's like people who say, well, at least would you say you're sorry? Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Boy, there's a little lack of sincerity there, don't you think? Oh, yeah, it's just lip service. So what we want to do is cleanse the inner us, the Christian, the home of the Holy Spirit of the living God, the one that we say we are filled with the Spirit. We have sanctified our life. We have set ourselves on a new course. So I don't want to live with those negative thoughts. I'm going to have negative thoughts because of this. So we don't want to forgive them because we don't want to send the wrong message. They don't deserve to be forgiven. And if I forgive them, that means that I trust them. No, I don't mean that you trust them. It means that you inside forgive them. Trust is a whole different concept. Trust is trustworthiness, is that you will put yourself, you won't put yourself back into a situation where you need to trust them until such time that they have earned the trust. There was a fellow at a church I was associated with, and he was basically, he got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and everything, but he was an armed robber. That was his prior, I don't know that he put it on his resume, you know, prior work efforts, but he was an armed robber, and he had the prison term to justify it. And so he got active in the church and stuff, and somebody said, gee, he was pretty good with numbers and stuff. He's pretty good with figures and stuff. Maybe we should put him up for election as the church treasurer. That's a thought. Well, you know, he's forgiven. He went before the Lord, and the Lord forgave him. That's true. And he's part of the beloved. Yeah, that's true. And you said you forgave him. That's also true. But it didn't say that because of forgiveness now, I am going to trust him with everything else. If you've been in a bad situation with someone, you've been in an emotionally damaging situation, you've been physically abused, and you have to forgive someone, it doesn't mean you're going to go back into the same situation, because that has to do with trust. Having to do with forgiveness is I'm cleansing myself by forgiveness. It's nice to be concerned with the person who brought the offense. That's okay. But right now, for this part, I need to get myself whole. I need to get myself good. I need to get myself in the right perspective. So forgiving is a method to move on with my life from that event, to move on. It's time. Now, Colossians 3. It's very interesting that our good brother Stephen read that this morning. Because that was a scripture we were going to use, so either he looked at my notes before he came up here, but I don't think so. Therefore, now, this is either talking about us, or it's talking about somebody who doesn't know anything about Christ, okay? So let's see who's it talking about. I believe it's in Colossians, he's talking about believers. So first we're going to see, do you fit into these groups? Therefore, as God's chosen people, are you part of God's chosen people? Yes. Yes, theologically, whether he chose you or you chose him, we can talk about later. But right now, are you part of God's chosen people? Yes. All right. Are you holy, meaning you have separated yourself holy, you have sanctified yourself, you are in the world, but you're not of the world, you've given up lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, and all of the sins that are listed, you don't do those things anymore, or maybe you never did. Are you holy? Yes. Okay. I'll give you the answer. I'll help you. I don't want to make anybody fail on this test. Thank you. Okay. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy. And are you dearly loved?
Yes.
Loved by God. Okay. So you're in a group. Now, you got to get dressed. Well, I mean mostly dressed now, but you got to get dressed. Clothe yourself with. Now, we have to put on this dress, this clothing, because human nature is not generally clothed this way. Okay? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Are you clothed with that today?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Somebody wants to get 100 on the test. Okay. Then we are told to bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. So, God's chosen people, us, you and I, holy, dearly beloved, put on our compassion, our kindness, our humility, gentleness, and we Must. Not think about it. Not consider it. Not say that's a great idea. It's a novel concept. I wish more people were like it. No. We forgive as the Lord forgave us. Now, are you all forgiven of your sins?
Yes.
Yes. Come on, get that. We're going to start the mark on a curve here. I'm telling you, this is all right. And all of these virtues, and on top of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So love is the glue that holds everything together. It's the outside wrapping that pushes everything together. Now, one of the theological understandings of virtues is they are gifts of God, like the grace of God. They are something that we get that is not necessarily part of our makeup. A virtuous person. These are virtues. These are habits. These are practices. These are infusions of the living God into us. So, I have God within me. He's in the middle of the action. I have the person who offended me. And now I got to make it right with who? Who do I make it right with first? God. I got to make it right with God. And once I make it right with God, I make it right with myself by making it right with God. And this person is merely an actor in my life. This person here, the one who offended, is merely a character in my storyline. This person here just did something so I could sharpen my game, so I could be uplifted with more virtue, so I could show myself that I am a true believer, that I could live the life that I'm supposed to live regardless of that person. Because now I have gotten God on my side, or I got on the side of God, I should say, and I've done what I'm supposed to do. So God's at the center, and I am now going to have to copy something that Jesus did, which is to give up my rights. You know, we're in this world we live in today, everybody has rights, and it's fine, everybody has rights, it's nice to have rights, but everybody also has responsibilities. With the rights come responsibilities. So we're going to want to give up what we have so that we can receive what God has for us. So we're getting the old person out and the new person in. And the old person, the old man, is getting out and the old man is coming in. Well, there he is. No. Sorry about that. So. Yeah. So what happens? We're going to have to take this person who has offended us, and we're going to have to turn him over to the righteous judge. I am not the righteous judge. I don't know what should happen with this person. I know what they did. I know what they said. I know how deeply it affected me. But I am not going to be the judge because, maybe next year, he'll be my judge. Ooh, I don't want him to be my judge. I only want one judge. So therefore, I have to give up my rights and believe that I am going to put him in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit hopefully will convict him, not condemn him. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn, he convicts. And I will be able to get that poison out of my system. So we work through our emotions, and if these, listen to these words and tell me if they resonate with you about some of the hurts that you've had, some of the emotions you feel. Anger, resentment, bitterness, vengeance, fairness. Now, aren't they all fruit of the Spirit? Let me read that again. Fruit of the Spirit. Anger, resentment, bitterness, vengeance. No? Wrong book. Wrong book. All right, let me turn that over. All right, that's the wrong book. Let's see. So what I have to do is to realize that if I have that going on inside of me, it is not the way God would want me to live. Not the way God wants me to exist. So I got to I don't know if they do that anymore. When we used to get a boil, I don't even know why you got a boil. I don't know why you used to get a boil. But Grandma used to heat a needle and puncture the boil and get that out. They do that anymore? I don't know. It's probably so unsanitary they don't do that stuff. But anyway, what happens is we got to get the pus out. We got to get the wound open. We got to get rid of this thing because it's going to kill us. And it is killing us. Now, if I want to forgive and forget. So forgetting is an action of two pieces. One is, did that really happen? Who was there? And what was said? Now, I'm not going to forget that because it happened. Now, I'll be fuzzy. Did it happen in the lobby? Did it happen in the parking lot? Did it happen at a picnic? But what I am going to remember is that that's stuck in. That's what I'm going to remember. So what I have to forget and turn over is that emotional feeling, and I have to do that as part of my will. I must want to do that. And when I want to do that, the Holy Spirit will give me strength to do that. You see, we're called upon in life to do a lot of things. One of them is to sacrifice like Jesus. So Jesus gave up his rights. He sacrificed. And what he said was, through that effort, I can give you joy unspeakable. Well, if my joy unspeakable has a little corner in the back of my brain or heart or emotion or soul that is anger, resentment, or all bitterness, then there's something wrong. I didn't get the full package. Look, I'm a frugal guy. If I sign up for an all-inclusive cruise, I'm the kind of guy that's going to get all the inclusive. I don't care. I'm going to hang glide, even if it kills me. If it's part of the package, I'm getting that deal. Yeah, I'm going to water ski on one leg, if I possibly could stand up on one leg. But anyway, I'm going to do all of that stuff because I want the all-inclusive package. And the all-inclusive package with the finished work of Christ is I am to have joy unspeakable. I am to have a life that gives me the peace of God deep in my heart. And that peace of God is being resisted by the emotion that says, vengeance is mine, saith the John. No. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Because I've been waiting for this guy who would embarrass me, man. I told him his time is coming. How can you have that coexist with you with the grace of God? So it's a sacrifice. And did you ever, I guess when you were younger and you weren't saved, did you ever plot how to get back at somebody? Did you ever think about how you could possibly get back at somebody? Yeah, those who haven't, stop lying. Anyway, I have no desire to cause that person pain. I have no desire to recruit others to help me in my misery. You know how Christians help recruit others, don't you? You know, it's a fine art. It's called a prayer chain. All right? Would you pray with me, please? Oh, what's the matter? Do you know what so-and-so said to me? Really? Oh, that's terrible. Oh, they did. Well, let me get some other people to help pray with us. Hey, did you hear what happened to her? Yeah. Wait a minute. Don't hang up yet. I said we'd pray for her. I said, wait a minute. Hey, guess what? What? Why do we want to spill the poison all over the place? We want to get it out of her. So secular studies have shown, I always like when secular studies prove the Bible. I love it. So psychiatrists today have found that those people who harbor bitterness have additional stress in their life. Well, no kidding. Read the book. The book will tell you. You got to get rid of this stuff. What are you? You spent all those years in school studying people's brains? Here's the answer right here. Give this stuff up. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. No, okay, this is like a pop quiz again. What is the writer of Philippians asking the people to do?
Rejoice.
Whew, we're doing good, man. We're doing good. Rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
I'm going to rejoice, God, after you strike that guy dead. I know he embarrassed you, John, but striking him dead is a little too tough. Oh, I believe in the sternest judgment possible. Oh, well, in that case, John, the Lord speaketh to you thus. Oh, no. I didn't mean against me. I meant against them. No, read it. It goes both ways. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident except to those who offended you. Oh, okay, that's a good rewrite. No, to all. The Lord is near. Now, I'm not sure when it says the Lord is near, whether I didn't dig in deep enough, when it means his coming is almost now and you better clean up your act. Or maybe it means that he's right near so you can handle this situation and you can get the bitterness out. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, joyful, thankful, not anxious, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends, which is over all I don't understand how I can have peace when this stuff is going on in my life. Well, you're not supposed to understand it. You're supposed to believe it and live in it. You can't comprehend it in your brain. You comprehend it in your spirit. And the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So I don't have to think on certain things, and I don't have to emote or feel about certain things because God will take care of me. Finally, brothers and sisters. Now, we had a list. Where'd this list go over here? This list went over here, and it was talking about words like, let's see. It was talking about bitterness, anger, hostility, anxiety, all of that. Now, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, is any of that praiseworthy? Do you believe we'll be praised for being angry, or bitter, or resentful, or those negative feelings? I don't think so. So it says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So I got to fill my mind with some better food so I fill my spiritual body. Whatever you have learned or received from me, says the writer, as seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Peace is a lot of definitions of peace, but one of them is freedom from stress. Are you at peace, my brother? Yes. Are you at peace, my sister? Yes. What does that mean? It means that I'm free from stress. But my good brother, you seem to have your foot caught in a bear trap. Yes, that's true. And it seems that your mortgage is overdue. Oh, that's also accurate. It seems that they repossessed your vehicle. Yes, that's very good. You got a lot of information about me. And you say, yet you're at peace. How could you be at peace? Because I am at peace in my heart. These are circumstances. These are going to pass away. Something's going to happen here that they're just going to float away. They will come to fruition. And look, it's summertime. If I get my house foreclosed on, it's warm enough to sleep in the church parking lot. And if my car gets repossessed, then it's simple, man. It's good weather. They tell you should walk 1,200 steps a day. So I'll get my walking in, all right? So I got an attitude now. I got to rejoice always. I got a thankful. I got to be at peace attitude. And that thing that's nagging at me, that forgiveness, that lack of forgiveness, that offense that's nagging at me, it's trying to rob me. I'm not going to let it do it. I'm not going to let it happen. It's not going to do it. So I'm going to think about these things, and the peace of God will be with you. That's what I want. Do not be anxious about anything, uneasiness, nerviness. Pray with and petition with thanksgiving. So what we're going to do is we're going to right now ask the Holy Spirit to stir up a couple of things in you. That's going to be the bad part. We got to get it stirred up yet. You know what happens? You stir up a pot, and somehow the stuff on the top, we're going to skim that off, throw that away. Okay, that's no good. We're going to stir up the lack of forgiveness in our life. We're going to get into mind that situation, that person, that event that is troubling us about a lack of forgiveness, okay? We're going to do that. Now, that's usually a downer, that's negative, but it's going to be positive because we're going to clean house. We're going to get rid of it. So, who do we need to forgive? We're going to need to forgive at least three classes of people, three groups. The first one is others. That person who offended you, that person who said the wrong thing, that person who abused you, that person who misused you, that person who misrepresented you, that person who the sting is still there. We got to get that person in focus, that situation in focus, and we're going to lay that before the Holy Spirit of the living God and ask that the Holy Spirit would rewire our emotions about that whole thing. We're going to voluntarily give up our feelings. We're going to voluntarily move away from what I think is right, what I think they deserve. We're going to get rid of the I, and we're going to make sure that God is going to be the righteous judge. Then I'm going to have to talk to God. He's in the middle here, and he's been my punching bag, you know. I throw everything at him, you know, and he's been here, but he wants to give me this peace. So the next thing I got to do is I got to ask God for forgiveness. Ask God for forgiveness. Yes, for our thoughts and accusations towards him for the things he did not do. You see, when this person was offending me, I said, oh God, please let this stop. And he didn't let it stop. So after it was done, I said, God, where were you when I needed you? And he says, I was near. I was right there. Because I am the God who is everywhere. I am the God who sees and knows everything. And I'm also the God of comfort. So I am prepared to give you the comfort you need, but stop kicking at me and stop poking at me. I am the righteous judge. You are my beloved. You are truly loved. And I truly love you. And we're going to work through this thing together. So I have to ask God to forgive me of the thoughts I've had, some of the thoughts, the accusations over the years. And then finally, I have to turn to myself. And I have to forgive myself for self-talk that is negative. Now, do you talk to yourself? Hey, what do you think? We're going to go here? We're going to do that? You know, I should have said that. I should have done that. Why did I do that? That wasn't such a good thing. Now, remember, if you talk to yourself, you're okay. If you talk out loud, you're either an eccentric millionaire or you're crazy. So it's one or the other. Or it could be both. I don't know. So you don't need to talk out loud, but self-talk, I don't think I can do it. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know why I did it. I don't know what this is all about. Self-talk, going around and around and around. And sometimes that self-talk is self-defeating. It's self-defeating. Maybe I deserve that abuse. Nah. You know, hit the button. No. And those self-defeating thoughts, those misguided thoughts, they attack our worthiness. Not our worthiness, but our worthness in the eyes of God. And we basically say, the finished work on the cross, the death of Jesus Christ, my Savior, was not enough. It was not enough. I need God to do something new in my life today. Well, we better mean the new is something that I haven't experienced before. But it better not mean new theologically that we're expecting God to do something other than what he's already done. We want God to do things in our life, but it's already as of the worthiness of the cross. So could I ask you to stand, please? So we are spirit-filled people. We believe that the Holy Spirit of the living God flows among us. We believe that he is one who is a person, a third person of the Trinity, and that part of his function is to convict us of sin. Not to condemn us because of what we've done, but to bring to light what it is we have done, make us aware of it, and then show us the way that we can address the wrong things that we're doing. He is not our enemy. He is not against us. He is for us. He is a teacher. He is a comforter. He's the one that puts his arm around us as we walk through life. And he begins talking to us gently in our spirit. And he begins saying to us, I know that you are a born-again believer. And I know that you have done this and that in your life. And I know that this and that is going on. And he begins to minister to us. And he begins to talk to us. And he begins to say, there is stuff being churned up that has to be skimmed off and thrown away. There's stuff that has to be addressed in our life. We come to church to hear a message for a feel good. And we also come to church to address that which is inhibiting our feel good, that which is not allowing us to have peace, to live in peace, to be fully at rest, to be in that place where we can look in the face of God and say, God, today, for this time period, I feel fully 100% cleansed. God, you brought some things to my attention that I must deal with. And I appreciate you for that, Lord, and I will begin to deal with it. Holy Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us today and show us what we must do. It is not your intention to hold us captive. It's not your intention to have us be miserable. It is your intention to give us life and life more abundantly. Is there anyone who now is coming to an understanding that there is some forgiveness in their life that is necessary, that they must extend? Is there anybody who would just wave at me? Anybody who would just put their hand up and say there's some issues in their life? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just be that great surgeon who will cut out the bad and replace it with the good, that you would produce a healing and a wonderful healing and a wonderful new relationship with you based upon the fact that you do want us to have your peace, and you're showing us how to get rid of things that take our peace away from us. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Go in peace. And remember, rejoice always in the Lord. Amen. Amen.